Welcome to another episode of Afros in the Diaspora. Today we have a very special guest with us, Miss D Adekugbe. She is also known as Pastor D or Mama D. She's the founder and executive director of Roots House, which is a refuge for families of African descent facing family violence. Mama D, Pastor D, Miss D, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, this is so exciting. I can't wait to dive into our episode with you.
Okay.
Let's get into it. As I told you in our email and in our conversation, there will be a trivia. Because you are a Nigerian in the diaspora, we have to ask you about your motherland. I'll go very easy, very simple. I won't be too, you know.
Okay, sign me. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Okay. What is the name of the current president of Nigeria?
Buhari? No.
No. He used to be the governor of Lagos State.
Oh, it's my turn now. Tinubu?
No? Yeah.
Is that the one?
Tinubu. Voila, yes. Tinubu.
Is that the guy that says it's my turn now?
Yeah, Emiloko. It's my turn. He's the one. You were right. Okay. What is the capital of Nigeria?
Abuja.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
What currency does Nigeria use?
Currency? Is it not Naira?
Yeah, it's Naira. I'm like, it's... Don't doubt yourself. You got this. Okay. You know, on the national... Nigeria has a national motto, the same way it has a national pledge, national anthem. What is the national motto of Nigeria? It's on the coat of arms.
The eagle thing?
Yeah, the thing with the eagle and the two horses and the map of Nigeria and the...
Something unity?
Yeah, unity is there. Unity and faith.
Oh, in unity, faith. Peace and something.
Progress. You're almost there. Progress. Yay! Peace and progress. Yeah.
Somewhere there.
Yes. Well done. You got it.
Oh my God! Is that what's on the coat of armor?
Yes. Unity and faith, peace and progress. Yes.
Interesting.
Okay. Next question. Who is regarded as the father of Afrobeats?
Davido? I have no clue about Afrobeats.
Davido. Okay, try one more option. One more. Not Davido. He from before. From before maybe Davido was even born. He sang Water. He no get any me.
Is that in English?
No. He was a Yoruba man. He literally still has a shrine today in
Fela.
Yes, Fela.
Fela shrine. You should have said who has a shrine in Nigeria. No, I said I didn't know he sang Afrobeats.
He's the father of Afrobeats. He originated the genre. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Two last questions.
Oh my good Lord.
Yes. What are the three main ethnic groups of Nigeria?
Oh, Yoruba, Igbo, and Hausa.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And what are the names of the main rivers in Nigeria? Two of them. The main rivers. That cut across the entire country. Did you say River State? Wait. Did you say River State? I didn't even catch that on time.
I don't know. The River and the State.
River State is a state like Lagos State. What the rivers? The rivers that cut across the country. Okay, I'll give you one. I'll give you one. You give me the other one. Let's try that. Okay, so there. There's River Niger and
River State. No,
River Benue.
River who?
River Benue.
Where in the world is that? I don't even know where that is. I've never heard of that in my life.
What? It's okay. That's why we learn every day, right?
Yes, you know, at least.
Yeah, it's all good.
At least I got there's River Niger. Okay, River Niger, not River State. Okay.
Yeah, River Niger, River Benue. Yeah, but you got a few. So I think you missed just maybe two or three questions. So that's you still win. You still win. You still win.
Everyone, thank you. Fela is the Afrobeat father. Okay.
Yeah, the father. Now you know.
And now I know, not Davido.
Not Davido. He's one of the children.
Well, now I know.
Okay. I'll ask you two riddles to wrap this segment off. And these riddles, please don't think too much about them. They are literally very silly. I promise you. Okay. This is a riddle I've asked before on the podcast, so I'll ask it again. Where can you finish a book without finishing a sentence?
I have no clue. Except the library, I have no clue.
It's another place. It's an institution.
Library?
No, not the library. Try another place. Okay, it's a prison.
Sorry, what? Oh my good lord. How is there books? Our sentence. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my, yeah, I was slow with that. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, right? Okay. The last riddle. An electric train is moving north.
Yeah.
At 100 mph. Which way does the smoke blow if it's moving north? The electric train, right? It's moving to the north.
Yeah. So the smoke is blowing. I have no clue. West?
It's electric trains don't release smoke.
Oh, fuck. Electric, not get. Oh, my God. Okay. Okay. I was so busy focusing on the direction.
Yeah.
Not the fact that it's electric, gas. Oh. And I'm thinking of the Orient Express.
Right? That movie.
Yeah, it's going straight. It's blow. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no, yeah. See, that's why I said
the Bible, you know, that's easier.
Oh, I should ask a question from the Bible?
No.
Because in a quick second, I can't.
Thou shalt not put the Lord to the test.
My goodness. Oh, my days. Okay. Well, thank you, Miss D. You've been part of this, you know, to shake out the nerves for this icebreaker special. But yeah, we're going to get into our topic for today. And today, we're going to talk about Roots House, which you founded and you're the executive director for, which is such, like, it has such a positive impact in our community here in Calgary, where families that are going through really, really, really tough times can find safety and can find security and can take some time to kind of recover. So you're doing your thing, oh, you are showing us the way. We young people, you are kind of inspiring, and you know, because like it's something a lot of people don't talk about, right? Like in as much as you know, like there's the belief that like abroad, you know, the laws there are for the women, you know, like that. So people don't really be. I don't even know if it's a belief thing. I think they just don't acknowledge or recognize that. Oh, domestic violence, both from the woman's side and the man's side, like it's very, very real, which makes what you do really, really important for our community. So first of all, a very big thank you for what you do, for this initiative, and for how you're seeing it through and making sure that it grows and expands and, you know, serves the community in the best way possible. So first of all, hats off to you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for the work that you do. What inspired Roots House? Like, what was the thing? Tell us a bit about your story of how you came to the point of Ruth's House is a great idea. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was during COVID, during the lockdown, I was speaking out against women that were stuck at home in a bad situation just because of COVID, and we had to remain, locked down. And I just started advising women and anybody that was going through a crisis that, hey, listen, reach out for help. You don't have to stay locked down just because of, the pandemic. There is help for you in the community. And that was because, I was getting a lot of calls, and a lot of people were reaching out, asking for help. They were in crisis, marriage crisis. They were going through violence, abuse, all sorts. So I just became very vocal on social media that, listen, if you're going through a bad time, if you're not doing well, reach out for help. Mm-hmm. And people were reaching out, and we were placing people in hotels. We were placing people in Airbnbs. We were placing people with friends and families, wherever we could, place a woman to be safe, even with her, with children. I mean, mm-hmm. And we were picking people up from, their homes, broken and battered and bruised. And it was, and so after the lockdown in 2022, we just decided that, we need to do more. We can't stop. And this thing is growing, and people are actually seeing that there's help, that they don't have to stay silent. They can reach mm-hmm. out for help. And so that's the reason why we launched, Ruth's House. And just to be able to let people know that there is, tangible help in the community that's mm-hmm. structured and supportive and protective mm-hmm. and still within the community. They didn't have to go outside of the community mm-hmm. to add the help that they needed.
Yeah. Wow, that is so powerful. And see, a lot of people, like, in as much as, yes, a pandemic rocks the world, and honestly, I'm someone, as a person, I stay away from the news just for mm-hmm. my own well-being. I can't handle the bad news. Even though they say it's news, it's mostly bad news. I can't handle it. I can't handle too much of it, or I'll just be in a frozen state of like helplessness, like, with like, what is happening in the world? The world is dying, and I would just freeze. And I know during the pandemic, there were certain, like, it was so, because families are stuck together, usually there's an escape, right? You can go to work, you can go hang out with friends, you can go get drinks, you can whatever. So if there's an argument or if there's a fight in the house, there's an escape. Like, people have the opportunity to go get fresh air or whatever and come back home. There was still job security in a lot of ways. There was still, so life was stable. But mm-hmm. because this worldwide pandemic, this sickness came and rocked the world, swept people off their feet. People were getting into debt. Like, there was no money at home, no money coming in. People were losing jobs. Companies were shutting down. Like, businesses were closing. So the frustration that caused, because there was nowhere else to pour that, even the gyms were closed. Like, you couldn't even go and work it out, right? Mm-hmm. And then so the chaos turned inward, and people started turning on each other in their relationships. Like, mm-hmm. the domestic violence that already existed exponentially, it went up, it skyrocketed, yes. Right?
It is true. The lockdown really just exposed a lot of foundational structures of marriages and relationships, and like you said, we went to work 9 to 5. I saw my husband, my siblings in the evenings. Everybody had separate lives. And then when we came together, we were all happy. But now we're facing each other 24 hours a day. There's no escape. Mm-hmm. And if you live in an apartment, there's really nowhere else to go in that mm-hmm. apartment. They're literally stuck with each other. Mm-hmm. And so, divorce rates went up. Yep. People that were not used to living together full time, and now we're now stuck together. And, families that all had their own interests outside of the homes were stuck together and just really didn't know how to navigate life together mm-hmm. on a full-time basis with no escape at all, no mm-hmm. reprieve. Mm-hmm. And really just relationships that were on the, just, you know, hanging on were completely shattered. You know, and, but at the same time, other relationships thrived. People found ways to connect with each other outside the homes. And, you know, and it worked, but for those that were already cracked, those that were already on one leg, just, you know, couldn't work. And then people that lost their jobs, people that were, you know, going through illness, sickness, you know, anxiety, so many things. They just, there was no outlets. You couldn't go to the gym. You couldn't go to see your therapist. You couldn't go to the doctors. So people just, it was just the frustration led to an increase.
So just, this subject matter is really heavy for me. So I'm just going to. We're going to breathe through
Process it.
Yeah, we're going to breathe our way through this episode here. And so what was it like trying to get funding to set up or establish Roots House? And what was it like, was it something that was supported by the government? Was it something that like they saw value in and were able to invest in? Or was it something that like, would you mind talking about that?
Yeah, we didn't have funding to start Roots House, you know. I personally took a line of credit, you know, of almost $100,000 to start Roots House, because I really, you know, there was a need. And, you know, it's like starting a business or starting a project. You first of all had to put your money where your mouth is and show me the money first, you know, show me how much you're committed to it. And because I was very invested in this, I was committed to this, I really had to find the, you know, the house to house people. I had to find the money personally to start this work. And I did. And then after we launched it, you know, then people started seeing the value in it and started getting on board with it. But initially, there was no business plan for this. There was no, okay, we're going to start Roots House in 1 year's time. Or we're going to, you know, there was no preparation. We saw a need, you know, we needed to deal with it. And we needed to deal with it immediately because people's lives were in danger. You know, lives was, you know, in serious danger. And we just went to work immediately. And then gradually people began to see the value and support began to flood in.
Wow. Talk about determination and resilience, right? Because like, in my head, I'm just like, oh yeah, Government of Canada. Oh yeah, they, you know,
Both our shelters are not funded by the government. We raise the money every day, every week, every month. We raise close to $30,000 to keep it going every month.
Government of Canada, please, if you're listening to this podcast, hello, what are you doing?
I know they will come around, you know, but we are new. There are other shelters that are in existence, that have been in existence for years that are also struggling with funding. But, you know, and so we're the new kids on the block and there's a lineup of people in front of us waiting for funding. And so, you know, we needed to take care of our own and we needed to do it fast.
Yes. Yes, 100%. With November being the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, what is something that your experience with Roots House and how close you are to like the these very bleak realities of what's happening with family violence? What is something that you want to put out there as a myth or misunderstanding about family violence? What is something that people have a misunderstanding of or people have misconstrued and just kind of sort of dismissed? Meanwhile, you being in the thick of it, you're like, no, this is not how it is. Like, what is something you'd like to change people's perception of or bring awareness to?
I think the first thing is that the African community has a crisis. And one in three in our community are going through domestic violence and divorce. And, and we are oblivious to it. You know, we don't want to address it because this is a taboo. We don't talk about abuse. We don't talk about beatings and slapping. We don't talk about verbal abuse, sexual abuse, all these things that, because it's been normalized in our community. We all grew up in an abusive environment, community. So, you know, a man beating his wife is not something new. It's what happens, you know. It's, you know, parents beating their children, beating sense into them. You know, all these things are, you know, are standard, you know, we all grew up with that. It's just standard practice, way of life. But in Canada, it's not. It's not acceptable, and it shouldn't be acceptable in any community. And, you know, in Canada now, the reality is that within 5 years of newcomers coming from Nigeria to Canada, one in two of those are ending in divorce. And we are just accepting it. We all know friends and families that have gone through a divorce. You know, we all know friends and families that have gone through abuse, but yeah, we don't do anything about it because, yeah, you know, and we also tell each other, you know what, you need to learn to submit. You need to learn to just deal with it. You know, don't put your business out there. But people are dying. People are suffering in our community. And this November being Family Violence Prevention Month, Alberta has the third highest statistics for family violence in the country. And almost 50% of Albertans are immigrants. Almost 50%. So if we have the third highest and 50% of us are immigrants, and one of the top four countries that people are emigrating from is Nigeria, mm-hmm, then you can do the math.
Right.
That we have a crisis and we need to start talking. And platforms like you, you know, opens up that opportunities for us to talk about this thing. Let's stop hiding behind closed doors. Let's stop hiding behind religion. And let's start facing reality that, hey, my girlfriend is going through abuse. I'm not going to just sit back and say it's not my business. It is your business.
Yeah.
And let's be each other's keepers.
Ooh, so well said. I had to take a few deep breaths during that because, like, oh my God. That's completely true. I didn't realize that Alberta has such high family violence rates. I did not realize that.
In the country.
In the entire country.
Yeah. Let's take a pause for and let's digest
for a second. Oh my word. And then, yeah, like you were saying, Nigeria being one of four top countries where people are immigrating into, you know, Alberta, into Canada, and then literally doing the math, like literally, that means, like you said, literally the first sentence you said is that we're in a crisis. Like, it's actually not something that we can afford to turn a blind eye to anymore.
No, like, and when you go to when you speak to other organizations that are dealing with family crisis or dealing with, you know, settlement issues, Nigerians are top of the list in terms of, you know, clients' referrals.
Sorry, I'm just breathing, y'all. I'm taking this all in because it is a lot to take in, and I'm sure that the listeners also are flawed, like I am. Like, in as much as I knew that this is, of course, it's a big deal. Of course, it's. I guess I didn't realize how extreme, how much of a crisis we're in until you started talking. And you mentioned some amazing things, like it's seen as such a big part of the culture where, whether it's African culture or Nigerian culture or religion is a very, very big part. When you were like, oh, I said, Uma, you should learn to submit. Ah, I felt triggered. I'm not going to lie. That one entered because that is true. Like, men say it. Women also say it. Especially folks in the older generation sometimes.
Or what did you do for him to beat you?
Yes.
Yeah, respect your husband. Yeah. Go home and submit. Go and apologize. Go and just be, don't upset him.
Ooh, You know, I've actually seen, like, you know how on Instagram or social media people will come and say, like, stories of what's happened in their family, or this person was talking about how this woman was being abused by her husband, like, physically. And she said she wanted a divorce. Very calmly wanted to just say, you know what, this is not going to work. I can't continue going through this. She didn't really tell her family what was really going on. She didn't really, she just wanted to be quiet. If you're beating me like this, you don't like me that much. Let's just go our separate ways. I think at that point, they didn't have kids. The man called a family meeting. Like, he reported her to her family that, see the person I paid bride price on her head, though. This is my personal wife. She's telling me that she wants a divorce. Why? And he said it. Because if she does anything wrong, I just correct her. Mm-hmm. I just, correct her in a very loving manner. And now she's saying she wants a divorce. Do you know they made this woman beg? Because the man outside doing like Igberaga, like Shakara, that, hey, I don't even want that again. People can come and carry your wife. Give me back my bride price. You know, like being the one to do the, there's some things you read. Like, I read that and I was like, how is this mathematics adding up? This is 1 + 1 is giving 250. It's not adding up. Like, how are you the one abusing this woman? She says she wants to leave. Then you report her to her family. And because of the way that culture is baked, she's now the one that's having to beg for the man to now stay with her. Can you imagine? Like, things like that drive me crazy. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Religion is such a big, like, it has a strong hold on people. But I even feel like it's misunderstood and it's taken advantage of it's been warped to fit a certain narrative where, as the head of this family, whatever I say goes.
Exactly.
You are spiritually insignificant as the head of this family. I am my
But it's true.
It is. It's true. It really is. It's the reality. And spiritual heads don't even help, because sometimes, with our culture, if there's no one to talk to, you go talk to your pastor. People would rather talk to their pastor than get a therapist. And in a lot of ways, pastors enable the behavior.
Yes, some do. Yes.
Some pastors enable the behavior. Some pastors say, well, you're not submitting. Go and fast for 7 days and 7 nights. If you're serving your husband food, kneel down on the floor. If you're doing, don't argue, don't shout. So you literally become a doormat, lose all sense of self. But it's still not enough, because an abuser is an abuser. If you don't look at him right or walk correctly, he will slap your face. Like, it doesn't help. Yeah. And the blame is always on the abused.
Yeah. They shame her, it's her fault. She did something wrong, But then, at the same time, we also have men that their wives are very abusive towards them.
Yep. They I was going to get into that next, yeah.
And they are also afraid to speak out,
yes,
because people will say, what's wrong with you? Yeah, you can't manage your wife. You're letting a woman deal with you.
Yeah.
Shame on you. When did you become the woman and she wears the pants?
Oh, God.
the things that come out of our culture, our community. It's so damaging that, people don't want to talk. They just suffer in silence.
100%. Like, it's, sorry, I'm just, I have to swallow, breathe. Like, bear with me. Bear with me. But it's true. It's true. Like, the blame is always on the victim, whether it's a woman. The worst part there, I won't speak Pidgin now, but let me just stick to English. The worst part is that, they will quote Bible, quote Quran, quote whatever it is. A good woman keeps her home. A bad woman, kidikokidik, I don't know the rest of that quote, but they will speak all the, as a child of God, God hates divorce, so you have to stay. They're killing you somewhere. They say you cannot go. What? Which kind of God? And then, of course, with men, oh my days, like, I feel even, my heart even breaks more, because there are men who literally, I don't want wahala, What I want is good life, love my wife and my kids, move on. But then there are some women who would rather fight, like really are abusers too. And sometimes in some cases, because they know that as women, they are likely going to be believed over the man, especially in the North American system, is if the man says this man is beating me and she just cries, he slapped me, it's a wrap. That's all she needs to do and the man is in trouble. So like the system here, yes, because women are physically weaker, historically have suffered a lot more violence than men, there is more care towards women, as there should be. But I feel like now it is being taken advantage of by women who are abusers, who feel like they can get away with it because they're women. Can you speak to that?
And that is so true, because you do have some men that their wives are very abusive. They know that they will get away with it. They know the system. And, you know, I mean, I had a client one time, the wife was the one that was the aggressor. Yeah. And then somebody said, well, what did you do to her to make her aggressive? You know, and I'm like, what do you mean? What did he do? If that was the other way around, you wouldn't ask, what did he do? You know, what did she do? You know, but you're asking that, what did he do to provoke her to hit him? Or to provoke her to, you know, to abuse him. So again, we're still going back to that blame that is the man's fault. Man is the trouble. Whereas you have these women that they know the system and they are using the system to get away with literally abuse. They're using the system to get rid of the husband that they don't want because they think the grass is greener on the other side. They found somebody else who looks, you know, better and is driving a Benz, not knowing that Benz is on credit or something that is his friend's car. But, you know, I mean, you have some women that have mental health issues as well that, you know, that are taking it out on their husbands. You know, so we, you know, it's both sides, and it's, you know, for men, there's no outlet, there's no support group. And that's why we have Mandela House. We really had to go and design and come up with a solution for the, you know, the Nigerian men, the African men in our community, and say, we hear you, we see you, and we want to help you. Don't suffer in silence. Yeah. And, you know, and hence Mandela House, that's how it started. To be able to provide that support, you know, for everybody. Everybody needs help. Yeah. And so we work with both, not just men who are victims of abuse from women, but also men that are violent, that, you know, that they need, you know, to go through rehabilitation. They need to, you know, they need help to, you know, address their anger issues and their, the ways that they, you know, they're using violence as a way of coping with whatever it is that they're dealing with. So we're working with those guys as well, because we want them to not leave one relationship, one broken woman, and then go and meet another woman, get into another relationship, and then break that one. And before you know it, he has a history of 5-6 women that he has abused. Before we now say this guy needs help. So we want to try and deal with things at, you know, at the onset. Like, let's take this, you know, abusive man and let's get him the help that he needs. Let's deal with his issues. Let's work with him so that we can protect every woman that, you know, that's going to come across his life in the future.
Yeah. Mandela House. Yes. And that one, compared to Ruth's House, when was that also started in 2022?
No, we just opened Mandela House this year on Mandela Day.
Okay.
You know, to coincide with, you know, Nelson Mandela's Day, International Day, and because we, you know, we wanted to honor, you know, the great role model that we have in the African and Black community, and also be able to, you know, display what, you know, no matter what a man goes through, this can be his own outcome as well. So literally from the pit of abuse, from the pit of, you know, family crisis, and really, you know, taking them through the process of healing, restoration, healing, rehabilitation, and restoration back into the community. Mm.
And is this something that people would have to like pay to be a part of, or they, it's also like free where they can come and get the help and support that they need?
It's a free, you know, shelter for men where they can stay 90 days or more to, you know, to, and to access free counseling, free, you know, free therapy, free support, free mediation, you know, and, you know, and, you know, free programs, peer support programs with other men that are going through similar things. You know, there's a brotherhood, you know, out there that we have created for men to know that they are not alone. Mm-hmm. And that's everything amazing. You provide is free.
That's amazing. A round of applause. If you're a listener, I say a round of applause right now.
Yeah, open your wallet and donation.
Yes, open your wallets and donate. Exactly. How do you feel like, because you've shared your heart about how Ruth's House, Mandela's House are both like kind of your, out of your heart for service to our communities, our African and Black communities here in Alberta and in Calgary. How do you feel like the community can support you in supporting them? Like, how do you feel like that relationship can grow better for the benefit of us all?
Let's keep talking. Let's create platforms like this, whereby we're talking about these things and we're not shying away from it, because the more we can educate our community, the more we can support each other. And let's stop being, you know, judgmental and, you know, and, you know, and thinking that, oh, there's no domestic violence in the African community. I'm like, oh, sure. Maybe, you know, the label, maybe the terminology doesn't exist in our, you know, in our pidgin dictionary or Yoruba dictionary, but the behavior certainly does. Mm-hmm. And it goes back generations.
Yes.
You know, we are, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, we are in a patriarchal society where men are dominant, you know, and so we can't change that, but we can certainly learn to live together and work together as equal partners, bringing equal, you know, bringing, you know, our different strengths to the table to create a healthy family. Mm-hmm. I think our community needs to do more talking. We need to do more education, more awareness. Mm-hmm.
Agreed. 100% agree. And of course, the donations, please.
And donations as well. Please support our cause. We are a free organization that lives off, you know, we rely heavily on donation to keep going. Like I said, we're not a government funded shelter. You know, our shelters are yet to be funded, but we know that we will get there once, you know, we get to the, you know, once the government sees that we're taking care of our own. Yeah. But I'm grateful for all of the financial supporters from within the community that sees the need, that understands that we have to do this together. And, you know, Ruth's House is not an independent organization that's just out there doing its own thing. We are a community. We are a family. We are the African community taking care of itself.
Yeah. Well said. The African community taking care of itself. What you spoke a bit about the inspiration behind you naming the men's home, the men's shelter, Mandela's house. Why did you choose Ruth? What is it about the name Ruth? Is that your name? Is that like, where did that come from?
Girl's name is my last born. Ruth is her name. She's a beautiful, hardworking, inspirational young woman. But it's also about the Ruth in the Bible, the story of the Bible. As a pastor, everything that I do has a little bit of, you know, pastoral, you know, influence in there. We're Africans, we're religious, you know, we're Christian, Muslim, atheist, whatever. Yeah. We're very religious. Yes. And so I need an inspirational role model for the organization. And Ruth is very inspirational to me in the Bible. Mm-hmm. She left her country. She lost everything. She lost her husband, lost everything, followed her mother-in-law back to a new country, a new language, a new people. And that country, Bethlehem, embraced they welcomed her, they loved her, and they took her in. And there she found acceptance, even as a foreigner. She found a place to belong, mm-hmm. and she found a community. Mm-hmm. And so I tell people that no matter what you've lost, no matter what you've gone through, when you come to Ruth's house, you're coming to a place where you're going to be accepted and you're going to find your own community that will help you to get back on your feet. The same way that Ruth was able to get back on her feet, she got married again, she had children, home. Everything she lost, she was able to gain it back. Yeah. And so it's giving hope to people. Ruth's house is a place of hope.
Oh, well said. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Are there any like final words? I'm about to ask, how can people reach you? How can people reach Ruth's house, like the website? Is there an email address that they can reach out to? Is there a way that they can give? They text this number, they can just like what are the opportunities and ways people can give? How can people get involved, join the community, support, whether it's on social media, the website, anything like that? Would you mind sharing that, please?
For sure. We are everywhere and anywhere. Just look up Ruth's House on LinkedIn, Ruth's House on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our website. We do, ask, for two things. Please speak out if you need help. Speak out if you know somebody that's going through something. And also be a part of, this movement, this campaign, to, be a part of it. Volunteer with us, donate to us, spread the word about us. Let's just keep talking and let's keep helping each other. Because you never know, by giving, by speaking out, you could be saving one of your own family member without realizing.
Yes, 100%. Is there anything else, just final thoughts you'd like us to know about Ruth's House, Mandela House, before I ask you for your, word of wisdom, a word of advice for the people?
I think, the last thing I'd like to tell you that Mandela House for Men is a real place for men that are going through crisis.
Yes.
November is, Men's Mental Health Awareness Month, as well as Family Violence Awareness Month. We need our brothers alive. We need our brothers strong. We need our men to be, good role models for our kids. So please get the help that you need. Yeah. And women, please stop suffering and covering it up, because, your children will follow your footsteps, mm-hmm. and they will think it's okay that this is what their own future will look like. So if you, whatever you're doing and you're thinking that you're doing it for your children, you're damaging them instead. So by getting help, you're actually protecting your children's future. So please, everybody, get help. Reach out for help. We are confidential. We're private. We cannot disclose your information, your story, anywhere. Otherwise, we will be breaking our own, confidentiality clause.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And as Ms. D said earlier, the service is free. You don't have to worry about how am I going to pay for this? You don't have to worry about all that. Come get the help you need. If you're going through something, if you want to talk, if you don't want to talk, you just want to get away, Ruth's House is there. Mandela House is there for our men who are also going through this. It doesn't matter. I don't think there's no age restriction, is there?
No, there isn't.
No,
we have support for children. We have support for, youth. We have support for elderly. Everybody is welcome at Ruth's House, no matter what you are going through. You're welcome.
Yes, you're welcome. Please make use of this resource here that Ms. D has poured her life into to be able to offer this kind of support. So please, Ms. D, this is amazing work that you do. Once again, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart for this act of service that you're doing for our community.
Thank you.
Of course. And before you go, just give us, leave us with a word of wisdom, something to keep us gingered and inspired.
Something to give you ginger. I think I'll leave you with one thing. Don't do life alone. Life is meant to be shared. So don't do life alone. You're not an island.
Yes.
And even on islands, there are people there. Yep. So don't do life alone.
Don't do life alone. No, I hope you have heard.
Even as a single person, don't do life alone.
Yes. There's community. There's friends. There's resources. There's support. Don't do life alone. No one is an island. Once again, Miss D, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for sharing more about the ethos of Roots House and Mandela House, about the work that you're doing and how our community is literally in crisis, and we have to be intentional about healing ourselves. Thank you once again.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and for our listeners, thank you for sticking with us on this episode. We'll catch you on the next one. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, rate, do all the things, okay? Thank you, and bye-bye.